Hey, Southern Arizona, thank you so much for tuning in to the Buckmaster Show. Now, obviously, you've drawn a conclusion that this is not Bill Buckmaster. Surprise, surprise. Bill and his lovely bride, Ann, are celebrating a wonderful, romantic, love-filled anniversary in the Aloha State. So he has thought, for whatever reason, that if I took over the show and dedicated the entire hour to food and beverage, that his listeners actually might stick with us for the hour. But anyway, as always, it is my pleasure to take over the Buckmaster Show for another exciting edition of the Buckmaster Show, where I will dedicate all of the content to food and beverage. And as we enter into the summer season, fellow foodies, we have a lot to discuss. My name is Matt Russell. I am the food and beverage writer for Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly. You can catch all my stuff at my website on themenulive.com. Pour yourself a drink and listen to all I have to say about the local F&B scene. Well, anyway, as you know, when I take over Bill's show here in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, I have a celebrity co-host. So helping to steer the ship with me for this exciting hour of food and beverage is a man who a lot of you already know if you are fellow onophiles like I am, if you love an interesting, fascinating, delicious, memorable glass of wine. He is the proprietor of the Arizona Wine Collective in St. Philip's Plaza, and he is my good friend Pete Snell. Pete, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, here we are. It's been a long time since you and I have shared a microphone together, right?
It has. I believe it was a live remote at our place last time.
It was a long time. Certainly not the last time I was at your place, but get our listeners current about Arizona Wine Collective and what's happening up there these days.
Well, the good news is we're still there. We had a rough time of it, like many, many businesses during COVID, and we were shut down for just shy of 6 months, which was rough. But we had been open long enough to develop a pretty loyal and strong following that supported us through that shutdown. Sure. And we have a wine club that we do. So we're out on the other side of it. We're starting to see, obviously, this last year we saw the snowbirds and tourists return.
Yes.
Which is big for us, certainly for half the year, because those that visit want to try the local product. And we have a tremendous selection of Arizona wine, all of which we think is excellent.
And I think when you say tremendous selection, you know, that's the real deal. Because look, if you were going to be opening up the Arizona Wine Collective 20 years ago, you know, you might have three or four selections, but people have discovered that the soil, the climate, the terrain, the terroir here in Arizona is perfect for winemaking.
Absolutely. It's exploding. And it's funny because people come in and they have no idea that Arizona has wine, or how can you have wine in Arizona? And they think we're growing the grapes next to the Cholla cactus, you know, around Southern Arizona.
Right.
And so what we've been doing now, we've been open over 4 years, is educating people on what's happening in the state. So it's not so much, you know, the fine intricacies of wine as much as what's the story of the people making the wine, right. What kind of grapes do well. And it's been, you know, it's challenging because
sure.
A lot of people come in with preconceived notions of what they think Arizona wine is, or maybe they tried it when there was only, you know, 20 years ago when there's
right.
only a few and only a couple of those maybe were any good. It's come so far, and I've lost count, and it's hard to keep count, but we're over 130 wineries in the state.
What?
Yep.
Okay, now is the sort of the topography of the Arizona wine region, are there still kind of three basic regions within the Arizona wine community? I mean, certainly with our proximity to Sonoyta Wilcox or Sonoyta Elgin, there's a wonderful array of wineries there. Wilcox is certainly making news on the wine scene. And I just frequented the Verde Valley for the first time and actually went to... I can't remember that. It was Cottonwood, I believe, mm-hmm. is where we tasted some wines. But yep. Are those still sort of the three leading regions of wine in Arizona?
Yes, primarily. You've got Sonoyta Elgin, which is probably over, you know, I don't have the counts anymore, but it's probably 20 wineries, and they've got new ones coming online as we speak. Several new wineries have cropped up there. Wilcox is still predominantly where the grapes are being grown. But you mentioned the Verde Valley, and that's exploding.
Yeah, it is.
So you've got Jerome, you've got Clarkdale, you've got Cottonwood, you got Cornville, which is where like Javelina Leap and Page Springs are at. And it's pretty cool to see the transformation up there. You go to Cottonwood, which you just did, and that old district there, the historic downtown, has just been completely rejuvenated with wine tasting rooms and new restaurants.
Right.
And you got Maynard Keenan, from Tool fame, who has his two labels, Caduceus and Merkin, and he's up there in a big way. So it's exciting.
And then that's one of the great things about the Arizona Wine Collective is that, you know, it's always fun to go to these wineries, get, you know, do a road trip and actually get to know the winemakers, but you don't necessarily have to commit to a trip to be able to hear those stories. And one of the things I loved about what you and your family have done up at the collective is you bring the winemakers in from time to time to do Meet the Winemakers events. So you can taste, you know, flights of wines and actually get to know the winemaker to dig a little bit deeper into their story. And you're doing that right here in Tucson.
We are. We just had one about a week ago, and we have another one coming early June, which I brought some of their wine with us today. That's something that also we missed for almost 2 years with COVID. We weren't able to bring in the winemakers because we weren't able to have groups in. And now we're bringing the winemakers in, and we've had one almost every month now this year where they come in, they bring some special stuff. We set them up. We have a back kind of what we call private room, and you get to meet the winemaker. He does all the pouring. He can tell you about their story, and it's very popular. It's very fun.
Now, you said that you brought wine. If this was a TV show, I know that our viewers would say, well, yes, you brought, that's sitting center stage right now. But here we are. The warmer months have revealed themselves. Are you going to be pouring a little bit of wine that you think would be wonderfully manifest of the summer season?
Absolutely.
Let's get going, Pete Snell. What did you got for us?
So what I brought, this is a newer winery from Cottonwood, and they're presently building a new winery facility in Cornville. And they're making some really great stuff right out of the gate. And what I brought today is a Peak Pool Blanc, which is a lot of, well, what I should say is a lot of the Arizona grapes, people aren't familiar with. I mean, I think most people, unless they're serious wine tasters and explorers, you know, they know the things that restaurants have on their menu, like Chardonnays and Pinot Gris,
sure,
and Sauvignon Blancs. And you come to my house, as I call it, and I'm gonna open you up to some different varietals that thrive in Arizona, like Peak Pool Blanc, for example, which is hails from southern France, and it's an ancient grape. But most people haven't ever heard of it. And Peak Pool literally translates to lip stinger. And they named it that because traditionally Peak Pool has very high acidity.
Right.
And this one I don't think does as much. In Arizona, Peak Pools I don't think do. But you'll find some producers, not in Arizona, that are making Peak Pool. They'll add sugar back to kind of soften it up a little bit because it is so acidic. But it's a great dry white, maybe a little more full bodied in the mouth, and perfect for summer.
Absolutely. And as I'm tasting this wine, I'm thinking that we did not do this show live from poolside today was certainly my mistake. I mean, this is a poolside sipping kind of a wine, but I'm also tasting a little deeper through the notes, and I'm thinking, you know, this is a particularly food-friendly wine as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just gorgeous. Again, what's the name of the wine that we're drinking?
So the winery is Cove Mesa, and the wine itself is Peak Pool Blanc.
Okay, so again, here is this education that you get when you go to Arizona Wine Collective. You're going to meet a varietal that you perhaps have never heard of, compare and contrast with some of the grapes that you might be more accustomed to, the Chardonnays, the Sauvignon Blancs, those kinds of things, and just spend a couple of hours getting to know Pete and his family while you taste your way through the Grand Canyon State in a bottle. I think this is just the perfect way to usher in the summer season. Summer wines are some of my favorites. You know, as you know, Nancy and I do a lot of entertaining outdoors, and I think this is really needs to be at the center of the table when we're welcoming in the summer season. So this wine is available right now at Arizona Wine Collective along with others.
It is. As a matter of fact, it's on our tasting list today. So that's real quick. We do we have about 20 wineries, and we rotate the wines on our list. And this one is one of the whites that's being featured today.
Wonderful. So don't go anywhere, Pete Snell. You're going to be stuck with us for the full hour. We're going to be doing a little bit more drinking. Surprise, surprise. We're going to take a quick commercial break. But I do want to remind Bill's listeners that the portion of the Buckmaster Show that we are in right now is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the... Come on, let's hear it. Danish Kringle. Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're open for breakfast and lunch from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Of course, treat yourself to their mouth-watering pastries, including the aforementioned Danish Kringle. Mona'sDanishBakery.com or BuckmasterShow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We're going to take a quick commercial break, thank a couple of sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Pete Snell and somehow figure out a way to work in a little beer, a little bourbon, and a little barbecue. Don't go away. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show. It's Matt Russell's.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
And you're listening to the Buckmaster Show. This is guest host Matt Russell sitting in for Bill as he and his bride Anne are romantically dancing across the Aloha State, celebrating a big anniversary. And I love sitting in for Bill because I love talking food and beverage, and for Bill to dedicate the entire hour while he's gone on this particular day. And it is National Wine Day, and we are broadcasting live from the Green Things Zocalo Village studio with our celebrity co-host for the full hour from the Arizona Wine Collective. Pete Snell is back with us. And Pete, while we wait for our next guest to actually call in to talk from wine, we'll move to beer, bourbon, and barbecue. But make sure that all of our listeners know exactly where the Arizona Wine Collective is and your hours of operation.
Okay, thank you. We are in the St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell Roads, and you've got the Union, Proof, and Reformer restaurants in that same center.
Yep.
We're on the west side facing Campbell Avenue, and we're open every day at 3 p.m. during the week. We close at 9, and Friday and Saturdays we close at 10 p.m.
Great. And you actually offer your guests the opportunity to do a little nibbling as well. So are you still offering some bites of cheese and some salumi and these kinds of things?
We are. Actually, we've expanded the food offerings. We have quite a bit of different packaged charcuterie items, crackers, wine chips, which are pretty popular, and popcorn. And then we also invite our guests to bring their own meals in. We're totally great with that. And the restaurants used to deliver pre-COVID, but now you would have to order and pick it up and bring it over. But we're great with people having their meals at our spot.
Wonderful. And there's still a beer or two available for...
I always have a few beers on tap.
Okay.
Absolutely. And those are all Arizona as well.
The first time I ever went there several years ago, I thought to myself that this would be sort of an interesting and fun place, perhaps to host a private event. Are you doing that? Have you thought about that? I mean, if somebody wanted to set something up there at the Arizona Wine Collective and do something private for perhaps for their board of directors or do a private tasting, is that something that that you and Gene have talked about?
Absolutely, more than talked about. That was and is an essential part of our business model. And we, again, pre-COVID, we were hosting parties every week, multiple times a week. And again, we have this private room in the back that holds about 20 people really comfortably. It's very intimate. The private parties were so important and are so important to our business because it always brings in people that have never been to our place.
Right.
And we lost that again for 2 years. And that was one of the things I think that hurt us more than anything. So we weren't having the groups, we weren't having the winemaker events, we weren't having anything. We were just having a couple here and a couple there having a glass of wine. And it's tough to keep your doors open with that. But we feel it's back. We actually have a private tour that's happening right now at our place. So my wife, Jean, is there with one of our employees hosting about 50 people all before we open, pre-hours, which we offer, definitely for larger groups. They can have the whole place. And tomorrow I do have a board of directors coming in.
Oh, so, you do?
Yes. And last week we had a bridal shower. So
of course you did.
So those things are coming back.
What are your sort of default responses when you hear the question from people that have not had an Arizona wine in, let's say, 20, 25 years, that sort of roll in with this, to be fair, this sort of skepticism?
Sure.
That Arizona and wine, it's an oxymoron, and there are other more suitable regions and climates that work better for grapes. I mean, help the listeners understand, what we have overcome and really what the opportunities are to learn.
So, yes, and I get that every day, and that's kind of part of our job. Mm. And it's part of what gets me excited and keeps me excited about this business is that I can turn people around. And that's a really cool thing, to open people's eyes to what I think is the magic that is happening in Arizona. But Arizona is not like this very hard escape place where you can't get anything to grow. I mean, we're very successful with the Rhone varietals, the things that grow in southern France, the Spanish varietals. Those are all regions that are typically warm and dry during the day and then cool at night. And all our vineyards are at elevation, so they're all in the 35 to 4,500 foot elevation. So they are enjoying the cool nights that grapes you know, that thrive in. You know, they need to be stressed a little. Lots of rain is not a good thing for a lot of these grapes.
Right.
So, but obviously we're all, you know, everything is irrigated. It's all coming from the well. When I compare Arizona, and I ask people, have you been to like Paso Robles, for example?
Mm.
And Paso Robles in central California, if you've ever been there, it's warm, it's dry, and they're making some amazing wines. And we share a lot of the similar varietals, like the Mourvedres and the Cunoises and the Syrahs and those kind of things. And they do equally well in Arizona as they would in, you know, a much better known region.
And I think it's sort of this, just let me pour you a taste and then we can have that conversation.
Right.
I mean, and one of the things that you did a while ago is sort of this exercise or this game where you would do brown bag coverings of the wines and stack them up against one another and tell your guests which of the three wines, you know, there are, but you don't know what you're tasting.
Right.
And it's fun to put your palate to the test because I think you'll surprise yourself by choosing the Arizona wine over maybe some of the others that are much better known.
Absolutely. We call that the Arizona Wine Challenge.
Yes.
And we started that literally, you know, the first month that we opened. And we did exactly as you're describing, Matt. We have three wines. Let's say it's a Tempranillo. We've got an Arizona Tempranillo. We've got a California Tempranillo. We've got a Spanish Tempranillo. And you get all three in a blind tasting. And I give you a little scorecard, 1, 2, 3, and you tell me which is which. And it's fun. People love blind tasting, but it's a demonstration of how Arizona wine stacks up. And Arizona wine is not always going to be the favorite of the three. I'm not picking terrible, schlocky wines. I want these wines to be good. And I want it to demonstrate that Arizona can stand up to these guys, and it does. And we've been doing that also for the last 4 years.
And, it might be fun. It must be fun for you and Gene and the staff to, you know, when the curtain is pulled back, the screams, the shrieks, you know, the responses from people say,
absolutely.
Wait a minute, seriously?
Screaming, falling on the floor, you know, the whole nine yards.
Fantastic. We're talking to Pete Snell. He is the proprietor with his wife, Jean, up there at the Arizona Wine Collective. They are, pardon me, in St. Philip's Plaza. Wonderful place with an indoor-outdoor vibe. You know, it's put together to really kind of recreate the feeling of and the aesthetic of a tasting room. So if you really want to experience all of the greatness that Pete has talked about from all points around Arizona when it comes to the wine scene, go to the Arizona Wine Collective and, you know, challenge yourself, fellow foodies, challenge yourself to experience something that you haven't experienced, to break outside of your comfort zone and to experience the, you know, the wisdom of Arizona when it comes to wines, because, you know, I wouldn't have said this, as I said, Pete, 20 years ago, but now I am so thrilled and pumped and excited about the Arizona wine scene, and knowing that there are 130 wineries now across the state suggests that people are in it for the right reason and that business is doing well.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't have said it better myself, Matt.
So before we go to a bottom of the hour news break, I do want to remind our friends who are on the beer side of things, our good friend at 1055 Brewing Company downtown, they have done something that I think is particularly newsworthy. They have decided to celebrate the 100th anniversary of United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona with a commemorative beer. And how do you salute a century of service in a glass of suds? Well, 1055 has figured it all out, and they have developed something called the United Summer Ale, which is a kind of a crisp and clean brew, which you're going to be able to enjoy all summer long. It's actually made with a very rare peppercorn from Western Africa called Grains of Paradise, and that brings in really subtle notes of juniper, of, you know, of citrus, little bit of spice, which I think is really bringing this beer to the best it can be for summer. It's called United Summer Ale, about 5.8 on the ABV spectrum. They launched this at an event just a few days ago. Wholesale pre-orders are through the roof. In fact, they just went into production on their second batch. They expect more than 30 local
restaurants and bars across Southern Arizona to carry United Summer Ale. And I will tell you a step further, Chris Squires and 1055 will also be donating a portion of the proceeds from the sales of this beer to the United Way's Community Impact Fund. So it's kind of craft beer for a cause. Go down to 1055. Stay alert for reports on where this beer is going to be picked up. As I said, you're going to have dozens of locations across Southern Arizona. So have a sip of this great United Summer Ale, and you will be pleased. And a quick shout out to all of the beer drinkers that perhaps might be married to a wine drinker. Arizona Wine Collective is the place to go because they do serve some wines or some beers as well, and you certainly don't want to miss out on that. Again, one quick shout out from Pete before we go to the bottom of the hour news break. Your address there at Arizona Wine Collective.
4280 North Campbell Avenue.
It's that simple.
It's super simple.
In St. Phillips Plaza. So we are going to take a quick commercial break. There's going to be a little bit of news here at the bottom of the hour. And then when we come back, the moment that so many of you have been waiting for, to get this guy to commit to 5 minutes of time outside of his restaurants, let alone an entire half an hour, is a feat that I am particularly proud of. He is Executive Chef Tyler Fenton, who you know has brought to us Riley Craft Pizza and Drink, two Tucson locations. We're going to be talking to Chef Fenton about Riley, but also some of the biggest news in the local restaurant scene. He has opened another restaurant downtown, and you're going to want to know every fiery detail. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI The Voice. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This is Matt Russell sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster, who is on the Aloha State with his bride celebrating a wonderful anniversary. And we're having a great time talking summer food and beverage here on the Buckmaster Show. And I should also remind Bill's listeners that since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a lovely 13-acre site that is also home to Zocalo Village and all of those fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. And no coincidence that we are broadcasting live from the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. And I should also say that the Buckmaster Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Back with our celebrity co-host, who has dutifully poured some more wine into my glass, which means you could stay as long as you would like. Pete Snell from the Arizona Wine Collective, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Are you ready to do some eating?
Absolutely.
Okay, I mean, it's summer in Tucson. We're going to be talking kind of summer food, summer fun, summer news. And our next guest has certainly been making a lot of news in his own right. And frankly, let's be honest, fellow foodies, I don't know when he's not making news. I mean, rarely is a day go by when something isn't happening at Riley Craft Pizza and Drink that is getting his community all abuzz. But he's got some newer news to report that I think is really contributing to a lot of buzz among the foodie community. He is the owner and executive chef of Riley Craft Pizza and Drink, and now the new Bata restaurant. My very good friend Tyler Fenton is in the house. Welcome, Chef Tyler Fenton.
Thank you for having me on.
Nice to see you, brother.
Always nice to see you.
How are you making your way through summer so far? Well, is it summer yet? Do we need a meteorological report from Tom Fairbanks, or you don't have to convince me that the triple digits are in sight?
Yeah, certainly feels like summer. But yeah, I think Tucson summer starts right after graduation, so we're summer has begun.
All right. Well, you know what? What better way to prepare our palate for a conversation about food than to have another sip collectively of this gorgeous Picpoul Blanc? What do you think of this wine that we're having?
Phenomenal. Yeah. First time for me, and won't be the last.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm writing that down. There's a testimony right there. We're going to talk about Riley a little bit later on in the show, but something happened here recently in the Southern Arizona restaurant scene that I think shook up quite a big section of our community, because something that you and your family have been thinking about doing for a while was revealed, and it was revealed in a big way. And I am losing count, Tyler Fenton, of how many times I read, and I mean this, and you can follow me, and foodies, you can do your research. I'm not making this up. I've lost how many times I have seen online, in reviews, in social media, in the digital media sphere, that Bata is Tucson's best restaurant. Those are big words from a community that knows a thing or two about the food scene, Chef.
Absolutely. I mean, our goal when we opened that restaurant, which accurately we have been working on for a very long time.
Longer than you probably thought you would have, right?
Yeah. We actively have been working on it for 5+ years.
Wow.
I have notes in my phone that predate Riley. And Riley opened this August will be 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it feels phenomenal to be open. But the goal of that restaurant was to be the best restaurant in Tucson first, and then we're coming for rest of the state.
Oh my gosh! Okay, so to you and your well-appointed and trained staff, to you, this is just another day at the office at Bata. Like, okay, yeah, duh, Matt. I mean, yes, people think that this is the best restaurant in Tucson, and that's a good start. But my word, when you think about the restaurants in town, and of course, you love great restaurants all across Arizona and the states and beyond, but you have achieved your first goal. Before we talk about the concept, what does it take to have a goal to be Tucson's best restaurant and then to get this affirmation from people all across the community?
So for me, it's 100% a team effort. I can only do so much myself. So we hired a really strong team, trained them, and we got everyone excited and passionate about what we're doing. But on an operational level, we made some decisions about how we wanted to operate that I think set us up for achieving our goal, how we're sourcing, our style of cooking, our how we layer flavors, the creative process in general. And I think those decisions have paid off. And I think the beauty of this restaurant is right now is the worst it will ever be. Every day is better. A year from now, we're starting projects right now that won't be ready for a year, and then that'll take us to the next level, and that's really exciting.
That's mind blowing to me. All right, so let's do a deep dive here. First of all, where is Bata located?
So our address is 35 East Tool. We're downtown Tucson. The cross streets are Tool Avenue and 7th Street. So we're just east of Stone. Classic Tucson construction makes in the past week, access has flipped from Stone to 6th Avenue.
Right.
So if you're coming from the north, you want to take 6th Ave underpass because Stone is closed. If you're coming from the south, a little easier.
There it is. So talk a little bit about the concept. So Bata, certainly not going to be a name that people are going to forget now. Bata. So long after the show is over, you're going to be hearing the word Bata in your mind. But give our listeners a sense of kind of the style and the story that Bata is built on. What are people going to see? What's going to be revealed to them when they walk in and see a look at the menu and take a look around?
Yeah. So to start our space, historic warehouse, beautiful double barrel truss ceiling, wood. So beautiful space. But the goal with the restaurant was to celebrate the best that our region has to offer, working exclusively with local farms for our produce and proteins. The sourcing ethos we have is 90% of our menu has to come from within 400 miles of the restaurant. We came up with really most of that is much closer. We did it because we want to have fish on the menu, and San Diego is within that bubble.
Sure.
just to give a little diversity. And but really the driving factor and the thing that will hit you in the face really when you're outside and then as you walk up is live fire. So we use a custom built hearth that my friend fabricated for us. It's designed to build to burn a wood fire. So we use oak coming from various parts of Arizona. And so you walk in the front door, you smell the fire first, then you take a couple steps, you see the fire. And every dish on the menu is touched by fire in some way. Some of it small, and some of it's big, bold in your face. And what's also fun about the design we have is it's modular, and we have these upper shelves. We have a dish right now that's carrots that hang out above the fire for 3 days. So they get smoked.
Oh my gosh.
And they shrink from, we're getting in big carrots. And when they're done, they are about the size of that pencil. They're intensely smoky, but then we rehydrate them to bring back texture, and then they get grilled again. And that's the kind of cooking that we're doing there. That is, while you could do at home, would be very challenging to.
Yes, please don't. Resist the temptation to do what Tyler Fenton just challenged you to do, and leave the work to professionals. Now, every dish on the menu is touched by fire in some way, if I heard you correctly. I see you have several desserts on the menu as well. So even your desserts, somehow, in some capacity, are being kissed by flame.
Yep, every single dish. So some of our pastry team has really embraced that guiding principle as well, which has been really exciting to see. And smoke pairs well with so many flavors. Smoke and chocolate, smoke and nuts. So we have a dish that's made with they smoke almonds, and we do a tuile with it, and it just adds just this little kind of wisp of smoke that's really beautiful. And then we have dates. We get these beautiful dates, and we dry them over the fire, that same process for like a full day, and they turn into these little rocks. Have almost killed our... We've been open 2 months. We've almost killed a food processor grinding those down.
Now, I'm looking at my script here. I mean, do we have a commercial break now? We actually do have a commercial break now. So don't go away, because we are just getting started on our conversation. We're going to do a little tasting with Chef Tyler Fenton, and just see by the luck of the draw whether this Picpoul Blanc that Pete Snell brought in actually pairs well with whatever is in your little secret bag of tricks back there. But anyway, quick commercial break, and thanks to the sponsors. And we're going to come back with Chef Tyler Fenton from Bata and Riley Craft Pizza and Drink. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is Matt Russell sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, food and beverage writer for Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly. If you want to read my stuff, you can go to my website, onthemenulive.com. Short story here, a handle named after a radio show that's no longer on the air. So, but the word live is still there, so check it out, onthemenulive.com. You can read all my stories about who is making news on the food and beverage scene here in Southern Arizona. One of them is my celebrity co-host, who has dutifully kept our glasses full, from Arizona Wine Collective. Pete Snell is here having a great time drinking some summer wines and introducing your tasting room to our listeners. Thanks for being here.
Yes, sir. Keeping your glasses full, that's my job.
Well, there's a fragrance that I can really hardly put into words, which is rough for me as a food writer, but something has overcome and overtaken the studio from a bouquet perspective, and here to tell us about it and what in the world is happening is Chef Tyler Fenton from Bata and also Riley Craft Pizza and Drink. Chef, what's going on here? You brought out some manifestations of the Bata story for us.
Yeah, so one of the important parts of our program at the restaurant is fermentation. It's how we're building layers of flavor that are unique to our restaurant. It allows us to preserve ingredients that we have and really to build our color palette to cook with. So I brought three for you to try that showcase kind of the range of, these are our kind of brine-based ferments. So one of them is a smoked mushroom, garum, which we make mushroom stock that's used all over the menu. We take the spent, we also are trying to be as responsible as possible, so we're trying to minimize waste in the restaurant. So we're taking the spent mushrooms from that stock, holding them above the fire for a few hours to get nice and smoky, and then those go into a high salt brine with a little bit of koji and left to ferment for about 2 months in a hot environment, and you're left with this intensely smoky umami sauce that we use to season a variety of dishes on our menu.
Okay, Pete, you got to grab a spoon, brother. If you were a fermented mushroom guy, and what a coincidence! I think the spent mushrooms are playing at the Rialto tonight. I mean, I just don't. Anyway, so is there a proper way to taste the fermented mushrooms here in liquid form? I don't want to do anything to disservice the integrity and to compromise the story that is Bata.
It's probably a little bit like tasting wine. Let it cover your palate. Obviously, the salinity is going to be a big factor. You have a different one, which is made with is essentially made in the style of soy sauce, which is made with Mayakoba bean and buckwheat, and that one's been aged for 2 years. So kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, the combination of buckwheat and Mayakoba results in kind of almost a fruity element.
No wonder it took you 5 years to open this place.
Exactly.
Yes. So these products are really fun. Right now we're doing a tuna crudo, big eye tuna from San Diego. That's getting that one because I think the fruit quality of it pairs.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So this is a lot of work, though. I mean, you don't just have this idea to, like, do some legit fermenting. I mean, are there separate quarters? Is there a quiet space for the fermenting to do its thing in a very kind of respectful atmosphere? I mean, how do you do this?
You know, it's a lot of it was a lot of research, a lot of time spent learning the right way to do it, and you know, carving out a little space where we can do that. Has been great because I think a lot of restaurants do it kind of mixed into service and tucked in a little corner, and it's hard to focus on it.
Right.
So having the ability to do it and do it right is very important for our restaurant.
It's so good. Now, Pete, I don't know about you, but this is what I love about doing these kinds of stories, because you didn't know what wine we were going to be drinking, and Pete, you didn't know what Tyler was going to be bringing in, and here we are in this wonderfully mysterious and magnificent setting where we're sipping fermented foods and we're drinking this Pitbull Blanc. To me, this is like a pairing from heaven itself.
It works for me. I mean, it makes the wine so much softer on the tongue, in the back of the mouth. I mean, it's just kind of knocks down the acidity. I love the smoky.
Oh,
yeah. Holy moly.
The goal with our restaurant on both ends is to make food that can pair well with wine, and our wine list is designed to pair well with food. And I think that that's one of the most enjoyable parts of a restaurant experience is how you how those two interact together.
I love it. Well, you found a new wine to add to your wine list, by the way.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so I got to know you through your restaurant project. Now you said 10 years ago, and you decided that it would be fun and funky to take up, take over and kind of repurpose the Riley Funeral Home downtown, and have it be an homage to, like, wonderfully unique and craft pizza and drink and pastas, of course. And Riley downtown has been with us now for 10 years. But certainly much more recently, you and your crew have said, look, there's a hunger for the Riley story on the northwest part of town. And not too long ago, you opened up Riley North.
Yeah, so August 1st of last year, which happens to be the same anniversary for Riley Downtown, we opened our second location, northwest side of town, Ina and Oracle. We're right next door to Tap and Bottle, their second location.
Now, no one will ever have any question as to where you are.
Yes. So both restaurants offer the same menu. Downtown does not do post-COVID. We did not open for lunch. So Downtown is only dinner, but the north location has lunch. All of our restaurants are closed on Mondays. And yeah, it's been a fun ride. We obviously COVID changed our timeline for that restaurant quite a bit. But Riley focuses on sort of the same thing. We want to do what we're doing the best possible. So our pizza dough is a long fermentation. We use organic flour. We use local freshly milled flour. Our pasta is extruded in-house using local Bluebeard Durham flour. And we just want to be kind of the best family-friendly, pseudo-date night, pizza, pasta, the things that people love eating. Place you can go multiple days a week.
And happy hours making news as well up at Riley North.
Yes, so we have not officially debuted yet, but in the coming weeks, we are redoing our lunch menu at North to add some sandwiches and like a lunch combo.
Oh, very cool.
Small pizza, small salad kind of thing. And then with that, we'll be debuting Happy Hour, which is something we haven't done in years.
Right.
So look out for that.
I love it. We have a couple minutes left before we unfortunately have to say goodbye to the both of you. But you brought in sort of a chapter of the Riley story to tell as well. We're going to be doing a little bit more eating. What you got, Chef?
So I brought you two of our most popular items. It's vodka rigatoni.
No wonder.
And our house-made bread and butter. Culture the butter ourselves. The bread is just our pizza dough baked off hot and fast in the oven. Really shows the diversity of our dough. And the rigatoni vodka, I think, is special for me because it's a dish that can be so simple and it's something very recognizable, but we've elevated it through technique. So we take garlic and shallot and we caramelize it for 45 minutes. And then we add tomato paste and we caramelize that for half an hour.
Oh my gosh.
And it's a dish that I think the casual home cook thinks it's a can of tomato sauce and some cream. And
right.
It's 3 minutes start to finish. We took that 3 minute process and made it into an hour plus. But I think the results speak for themselves. And that's kind of my cooking philosophy is doing everything the right way, never taking shortcuts. The long way is normally the better way. Just want to make tasty food that people love.
You've made tasty food that I love. That's why I, again and again, go back to Riley. So thrilled about the work that you're doing at Bata. Again, Bata Downtown, Riley Downtown, and the Northwest location. Next to Tap and Bottle. I want to do a whole nother hour just on cultured butter. I mean, who else is culturing their own butter, Pete Snell?
Not me.
I ask you. Anyway, Tyler Fenton, thank you to you and your family for everything that you've done in this community. I mean that sincerely. Love you like a brother, and we'll be seeing you soon. And Pete Snell from the Arizona Wine Collective, thanks for hanging out with us, and thanks for libating us through another delicious hour. It is Matt Russell, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. Have yourself a great week, fellow foodies.